Ben Brunson is here, and it says the nation's most knowledgeable history expert and author of Esther's Sling and the Falstaff Enigma. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
You are the smartest guy ever. It says so right here.
Well, maybe that's a bit of hyperbole.
Well, maybe Amanda loves you. I don't know. I would love to ask you a few questions, but we're going to get right to the meat of the subject, and that is looking at real history events. You know, the old adage, if you don't understand history, you're doomed to repeat it, or something of that nature. And it seems as we're watching this caliphate, this Islamic nation, come to fruition in Iraq and Syria, what do you make of it? I mean, to me, I've heard comparisons to Germany in the early 30s when the people just stood back and said, you know, we don't want to get involved. Do you see those comparisons, or is that a stretch?
Well, I'm not sure I'd make those exact comparisons. What I do make of it is that Al-Qaeda has been superseded by the Islamic State. And this is the new Al-Qaeda. This is really the dream of bin Laden, realized by the leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi. And he has created a state now that is a true terrorist nation state that has taxing authority, that has the ability, that has access to revenue sources such as oil, and cannot be allowed to exist. This is a group that obviously it's everyone understands now. It's a death cult. You either conform to their view of the world or their view of Islam, or you die. They seem to enjoy killing.
Well, let me stop you right there. How on earth can we sit here and allow that to happen? You know, you convert to our religion, or we will slaughter you, we will kill you. How does the United States sit, and apparently there's some movement now to do something, but to me, how do you allow that to happen? We don't allow that to happen in other nations. Ethnic cleansing, and the United Nations was created, you know, first League of Nations by Woodrow Wilson, a failure that, but that idea has been going on for 100 years now of the nations getting together to prevent that exact kind of behavior.
Well, that's a great point. The fact is, of course, the saying when I was growing up after on the heels of World War II was never again. And, of course, the global community decided that never again would we allow a Holocaust to take place. But the fact is we have a spotty record at reacting to genocide. We watched as Cambodia committed genocide, that what was going on by the Khmer Rouge inside Cambodia in the late 70s.
2 million people dead there.
Was well known. Two million people.
That's
killed.
Right, in the killing fields. What about Darfur? Tens of thousands dead there.
Darfur, there have been numerous ethnic genocides that have taken place in Africa, in which the world has essentially watched and decried it from afar without taking action. So we really have a spotty record.
Well, in fact, I would challenge you, Ben. I would challenge you. Hold on. I don't think a spotty record. Can you name one incident ever that the United Nations has prevented mass killing or genocide anywhere ever in their history?
Well, you know, Bill Clinton did get involved in the old Yugoslavia. And
the United States got involved, yeah. But the U.N.
And NATO got involved in that, and there was some U.N. Resolution to cover that. But
the United Nations is an abject failure, but go on.
But I don't disagree with you. The difference here, though, is we have a clear intersection between a genocidal group on the one hand and our own national interests. So to me, this is really a no-brainer. This is a group that will absolutely not stop. They will seek to expand as far as they possibly can in the Middle East, and they will come after the West. They want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy the United States. We are both satanic nations as far as they are concerned. So
we are the infidels.
They are going to come after us, and if they are allowed to continue and to grow and to gain power and resources, they will dedicate those resources and that power to attacking us.
So Ben, I'm confused. Ben, I'm a little confused. You're telling me that a large group of people whose very core beliefs include killing you, me, my dog, my neighbor, my cat, my wife, and my kids, we can't negotiate with these people?
Can we negotiate? No, of course not.
I'm shocked. I'm stunned. I mean, they seem like nice people. I mean, if we could just all get along, Ben, there'd be no problem. I mean, that's what seems to baffle me about Barack Obama. He doesn't understand the concept that if you went to the Middle East and took all the guns away from the Israelis and the Palestinians, they'd beat each other to death with sticks and stones. And that's the truth.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that. And with this group, there's no question they would... It's like the scene from Monty Python. They would bite you to death.
Exactly.
They would not stop.
Yeah. Anyhow. Well, I don't know where we go from here, Ben, but, you know, it's a difficult place for us to be. We need to be more involved with what's going on there. Ben Brunson, our guest, the nation's most knowledgeable history expert, says right here, according to Amanda Wall, he is the smartest guy ever, pretty much. And so, all right, let me just throw one out here. Do you know presidential history pretty well, Ben, do you?
So.
All right. I mean, I'll give you an easy one. The shortest president.
The shortest president.
Sure.
Oh, dear Lord, I don't know that.
I mean, James Madison. I'm just playing James, at this point. Yeah, 5'4".
James Madison was 5'4".
5'4". Okay. Yeah, there you go. And the most children, John Tyler. He had 15. And you know that John Tyler held Bible studies in the White House? Can you imagine doing that today? Anyhow.
No.
Good fun, Ben. We'd love to have you back sometime. Ben Brunson, most knowledgeable history expert and author of Esther's Sling and the Falstaff Enigma. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.